Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you guys live on Monday, July 24th, 2023. I am joined, as always, by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, are you ready to talk about some football today?
Yes, sir.
We are back, guys. We did two previews for y'all last week. One came out on Friday. That was the NFC South. This we also put out the Pac-12 earlier in the week. I believe it was on Tuesday. This week, we're just going to give y'all one, but we'll have to double up another week to get everything in before football season. But we're going to stick to the college football, guys. College football is coming up quicker than you even think it is. Week zero is right around the corner, Ben. We're less than a month away now from week zero. I can't be more excited. But we got to talk about the Big 12 today, guys. The Big 12 looks completely different this year, Ben. They've added four teams, so they will have 14 teams this year. The newcomers are Cincinnati, BYU, UCF, and Houston. Took them from the American Athletic Conference. Obviously, BYU was a independent before this. Ben, do you like the new look Big 12?
I do. I think these schools can compete in this conference on a year-to-year basis. BYU is a program that's you know, made a lot of bowl games in the past couple of years. They put a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL. And UCF, obviously, Malzahn is not scared of playing big teams. When he's at UCF, I think he brings just the right amount of chaos to a Power 5 conference, and he's back where he belongs, Power 5.
Yeah, Malzahn made the right choice. I actually saw somebody writing up a ton of stuff there. Gus Malzahn took the ultimate W, leaving Auburn, taking a year off. He's still getting paid by Auburn as he coaches now at UCF because of the way they pay out these contracts. Obviously, when they fire their coaches, they don't pay it all off like you think they would. But, Ben, let's get down to it, man. Let's break down the conference. So, I like to give the conference champion the nod to start things off here. And believe it or not, guys, we're not even going to start out with the team who represented this conference in the national championship game. But instead, we're going to start out with the Kansas State Wildcats, Ben. Kansas State brings back 8 starters on the offensive side of the ball, 5 on defense. Also, they were able to retain offensive coordinator Colin Klein. I'll start us off with this one. First of all, Ben, numbers and everything say that Kansas State's schedule is like, so I obviously, guys, am a big Phil Steele preview guy. And Phil Steele's preview says that Kansas State plays. So he has like a, it determines how much harder your schedule is. They play an 80% harder schedule than they did last year. Tough games include at Texas Tech, at Missouri. They also play at Kansas. Luckily, though, they get a void and at Texas. Sorry. But so they do play a relatively tough schedule this upcoming season. They do avoid Oklahoma, however. Big things though for Kansas State, Ben. I don't think it's going to be easy to just straight up replace Deuce Vaughn. Deuce Vaughn's arguably one of the best running backs this school's ever had. He's on his way to the NFL. They also lose their top wide receiver. Good news is Will Howard played a lot for this team, including their bowl game, because Adrian Martinez was hurt a ton, and he played pretty well. He's not as mobile as you think he is, but he's really good pocket passer. And this offensive line is probably going to be up for the Joe Moore Award. They bring back four of the five starters from last year, and they were one of the best offensive lines in the nation. The offensive line should be really good for them. Other than that, they did lose a decent bit on defense, including their whole secondary and their top pass rusher. So this Kansas State team's going to look different. I still think they're easily an eight-win team, probably nine.
Yeah, and Colin Klein was hunted down by Notre Dame. They wanted him badly. He decided to stay at Kansas State, which is he belongs in Manhattan, Kansas. He shouldn't even be. It should be illegal for him to leave this state,
Agreed.
or in that city, that college town. Listen, Kansas State, their program. It just seems like they have everything figured out, right? They hired a new coach. It seems like he's had success, or we know he's had success early on. Now, not a lot of question marks. Like you said, they return eight. On offense, Will Howard started 10 games, like you mentioned. Listen, they have a productive quarterback, a good offensive line. They retained their OC, and they've already extended their coach. Last year they weren't able to create some turnovers. That's something that's tough to replicate back-to-back years, but if you can figure it out, it makes your defense a lot better. They lost their stud defensive pass rusher. I want to say he went to the Chiefs, but I'm not sure on that. I think they can compete to win this again. I don't think they're the most talented team in this conference by any
Agreed.
means. I think they'll finish between second and third in the Big 12.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Ben. I think they're just a well-coached team, and I think there's really four teams that are five teams, in my opinion, that can win this conference, and I think they're still one of the five, but I'd probably put them in that four or five slot. Next team we'll talk about here, Ben. I mean, we got to talk about the TCU Horned Frogs. I think they earned the right here to get talked about. Unfortunately, they only bring back three starters on offense, as basically the entire team went to the Chargers. The Chargers drafted a bunch of TCU guys. They still bring back seven on the defensive side of the ball. Chandler Morris is going to take over at quarterback, and they still have their stud defensive back, Josh Newton. This team absolutely crushed the transfer portal. Ben, how do you think TCU is going to look this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think their final four games are really final. Their final six games from October 14th to November 24th. They have two byes in the mix, but they go BYU at Kansas State, bye at Texas Tech, Texas, Baylor, and at Oklahoma. I think that's a brutal way to finish the schedule, even though you do get two byes in between those games. You finish up a bye and you go at Kansas State, then you get another bye and you go at Texas Tech. I think both of those are extremely tough, even though you get a week before to game plan. Like you mentioned, they lost a ton offensively. They got a quarterback that wasn't even supposed to start in the preseason that ended up being a superhero in Max Duggan. Receivers, running backs. They bring in Trey Sanders, who for Alabama people listening, is one of the easiest guys to root for. Former five-star of IMG, got in a really bad motorcycle accident. Basically, had to like relearn how to like run and play football again. So he's going to be there trying to finish up college. I'm rooting for him. They go fourth because below that, I couldn't figure out a way to get them below fourth because the Big 12 after kind of the four or five teams is tough to just grade. So I think it's tough to replenish at a school like TCU when you just lose so much production. They brought in some good transfers. I think they still have a really good coach. I just think they need to build up some quarterback confidence once again.
Yeah, let's also not forget to mention that they did lose their offensive coordinator. Lincoln Riley's brother took off and went to Clemson. What's his first name?
Garrett.
Yeah, Garrett Riley. That's what I thought. I didn't want to be wrong though. But yeah, so he's going to be gone. So I think the offense might take a little step back. I will say though, Sonny Dykes is always known for having dynamic offenses. So I don't see why that they can't come close to reciprocating what happened last year. I agree with you though, Ben. I think this is the fourth. I think them and Kansas State are going to finish fourth or fifth in this conference. So I think we're both on the same page here with TCU. They're still going to be a good football team though, guys, and they will be fun to watch this upcoming season. Next up, Ben, now that we took care of the reigning conference champions. Let's talk about them, man. The Texas Longhorns. This Texas team rolls in absolutely loaded. They're going to play week two at Ben's Alabama squad for their out-of-conference big-time game. On top of that, they pretty much play all the other big dogs. And of course, they always play Texas, or they always play against Oklahoma on a neutral site. So that game is not home or away. which does favors, honestly, for both teams' situation. So Texas brings back 10 starters on offense, 6 starters on defense. They also still bring back Sanders and Worthy, which is probably top 3 to top 5 best receiving duo in the league. They do have the 10th hardest schedule in the league, and they were 2-5 in close games last year. Ben, what do you think's going to happen with them, man?
They brought in A.D. Mitchell from Georgia as well. A little championship pedigree in that receiving corps. Without a doubt, the best a lot in this division. Best defensive line, best secondary. You could argue best quarterback. I think that one's not unanimous. With Quinn Ewers, best receiving corps, best offensive line. This team is loaded for the Big 12. Listen, I don't think their schedule is that easy, to be honest with you. But I do think they're supposed to be a really good team, so they should take care of business. So they go – their last couple of games is home against BYU in Kansas, and then at TCU, at Iowa State, and then Texas Tech at home. They just can't afford a Steve Sarkisian collapse at the end of this game. Mm-hmm. They have got to keep their focus because they're going to go 1-0 into Tuscaloosa, right? Whatever can happen in that game. I think that's a winnable game for Texas.
That's an Alabama guy saying it too.
And I would say that they're whatever the number is going to be is probably going to be appropriate, right? For week two. They should handle Wyoming. At Baylor will be a tough one because Dave Aranda is a stud of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas then going into that Oklahoma game. They could easily just have one loss going into that Oklahoma game, but I don't think it would shock anyone in America if they had two. They lose to at Baylor, a team they're probably not supposed to lose to this year. For some reason, Sarkisian just hasn't put it all together. He's got some games where his quarterback does really well, and he's got some games where his quarterback turns the ball over like crazy. He's got some games where his pass rush looks like it's all Big 12, and he's got some games where they don't rush the passer well. So they need to establish physicality and identity early, starting in that Alabama game. And even if they lose in Tuscaloosa, they have got to regain their focus right away because you don't want to slip up. This is a team with too much talent for them not to be playing for a Big 12 championship. And it's the third year of these coaches, so it's time to make some noise.
Yeah, look, Ben, I think Sarkisian's been building something every single year, and I think this is the year that this Texas team goes ahead and breaks through. I think they should be favored in every single game they play this season except for the at Alabama game. Obviously, hot take for you guys, I think they lose one game this season, and it's not going to be at Alabama. That's how I'm feeling about this Texas football team. Ben laid it out, man. This team is stacked. I really think they're one of the four best teams when I look at them top to bottom in the nation this year. I think Quinn Ewers is going to get them right. Like, Texas finally has the roster that Texas football is supposed to have, and I think Sarkisian's the coach to put it all together. This is Texas's year, man. I like this team a lot. I don't see how that they don't. Get it done. Also, Phil Steele has them as his number 3 surprise team. I wouldn't necessarily say they're a surprise team, but I think this Texas team's going to be really, really good. That means when he does the surprise teams, he means to compete for a national championship. So they're one of his surprise teams to compete for the national championship, and I got to say I agree with you on this one, Phil. I think that 2-5 luck in close games is really going to turn around for them, which is something that I always like to look at. Ben, when we talk about the Big 12, we always got to talk about the big dogs. So we got to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners right here. When you look at Oklahoma's schedule, first off, Ben, I think they have really favorable breaks. The fact that their really only hard game in the conference is Texas. They get to avoid the likes of Texas Tech. They get TCU at home, which is huge. They're really their only tough conference road games is at Kansas and at BYU. Looks like they get to play all the newcomers except for Houston. They play a pretty easy out-of-conference schedule, but this team, Dave, head coach Dave, who's their head coach? Brent Venables. There we go. I almost called him Dave Aranda. There we go. It's late, guys. We usually podcast earlier, so my brain's a little more dead than usual. But I think Venables was thrown a tough end of the stick. You know, Lincoln Riley completely gutted this team when he took off and left for USC. He left him with nothing. The cupboard was bare. It's almost like that scene of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, where that Will Smith walks in and there's nothing in the room. It's like that meme almost for him when he came in there. And I think he did a decent job turning around the team. Their defensive line was terrible last year. They gave up 6-plus yards per rush. But they really got in a lot of guys in the portal. The easy schedules helps. They're going to miss Mims. But I still think that they have a nice duo at running back with Shawchuk, and I think that's how you pronounce it, and Barnes. They also have a highly rated offensive line, and Dylan Gabriel is going to be back. They're 0-5 in one-score games, and Phil Steele has him as his number 2 most improved team. I think with the easy schedule and the talent that they have on this roster, there is no reason why this team should lose more than 2 games. Honestly, I think they should only lose 1, but realistically, I think they'll lose 2-3.
Speaking of Venables, he's built consecutive top 10 recruiting classes. That's obviously good news. Like you said, he did some good work in the portal. That defensive line should be a strength of this defense this year compared to last year. I think it's really tough in year one. Situation he walked into, like you mentioned, wasn't ideal. But also, you get to do everything your way, right? I mean, Deion Sanders, what he said, he's going to Colorado, he's bringing his luggage and it's Louis. Well, Venables didn't get to choose what he had, but everything he brought in is his version of Louis. So he didn't have to weed anybody out. They had already left before he got there. So listen, I'm a big Dylan Gabriel fan. One,
Same.
because he's a lefty and he slings it. But two, he's a gamer. He's actually a really good runner. I think he should run more, honestly. I know he's got an injury history, concussions. So maybe he needs to learn how to slide or get down quicker, but he's a good quarterback, good lefty. And also they brought in Jackson Arnold, who's one of the best quarterbacks out of high school. So I don't want to say this is a Rattler Williams situation, but I think you can make the case that the backup might already be better than Dylan Gabriel. So I think this Oklahoma team can do some damage offensively. I really do. Like I said, the schedule, it's easier than some of the other ones we've already mentioned. I think they're fighting between second and third in this conference this year.
Also too, Ben, I think a good point you made, I'm glad you brought up Arnold coming in, is Gabriel got hurt last year and they basically played like a triple option offense. Like they had no passing
Yeah, it was
whatsoever when he got
tough.
hurt. I don't think that's going to be the same thing. I think this Oklahoma team is due some very positive regression, and I like the fact too they played bad in all those close games. Ben, I think one of the last teams that we need to cut that we I mean, you might have a different list of the five best teams in the conference here. I might be a little higher on
I
this team than
don't.
you are, but
I don't. I know where you're going.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Texas Tech?
Texas Tech?
Oh,
Yeah.
Ben read my mind, baby. Let's talk about the Red Raiders down in Lubbock. The Red Raiders bring back 11 offensive starters. They also bring back six on defense. I'm gonna let Ben start us off on this team, but real quick before I do, let's highlight the games on their schedule. They do play Oregon at home, which is huge that they get them at the house. Overall, they're really tough road games. They're going to be at Baylor. I think BYU is going to be a pushover, but still, that's a very tough place to play. And then at Texas. Ben, what do you think about them?
Yeah, really, really big swing game early in their season, week two, just like Texas. This time, Texas Tech is home when Texas is on the road. Like you said, the Red Raiders get to play Oregon. I think that's going to be a really popular upset pick in week two. I don't think it definitely won't be game day by chance, but I think if you're watching College Game Day, multiple people will be picking the Red Raiders to knock off Bo Nix and the Oregon Ducks. So much experience on this team. A good young coach that knows his area really well. This team, I have them between four and five in this conference. I think with the veteran leadership that they'll have, I don't think this schedule is too rough. Obviously, at Texas it is not easy, but if they can upset Oregon, they can really start this season 5-0 going at Baylor. And I don't think it would shock too many people. So I think this is a ball club that can absolutely beat Oregon at home. I think they can win games like at BYU and at Baylor. I think Texas will obviously be tough at Texas at the late in the season, but this is a team that can absolutely play spoiler in the Big 12. Their offense is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year once again. I have them finishing between fourth and fifth, which I think is a pretty good year for them. I think 7 to 8 wins.
I may or may not think they're going to win 10 games this year, Ben. Look, I personally think McGuire knows how to, I think he knows how to recruit the state of Texas. You have so much talent there. I think he can
He
pick
was a high
out.
school coach in Texas before Texas
Exactly.
Tech got him.
He has all the connections. He knows the guys, you know, who aren't your five star, but he can pan pick the fours, the threes, the twos that he knows are going to end up being studs and fit his system perfectly. Also, too, Zach Kittley, their offensive coordinator, he's one of those Houston Baptist, Western Kentucky guys. This is going to be his second year, so this is going to be a high powered offense. And Tyler Shuck was injured a lot last year, but when he was actually healthy and he took over, he was throwing the ball over the yard. They had almost 10 wide receivers they subbed in and out. They bring in this top wide receiver, Dre McCray from Austin Peay last year. And they also have Jerran Bradley back last year, who had a great connection with Shuck. They were 4-0 in close games, which does scare me a little bit. But Ben, this is huge. Not only is this my breakout team in the conference, but they have 10 super seniors playing on defense. So based off the guys they bring back and the guys who transferred in, all these guys are the guys who have been, who are like 60-year guys playing in college football that shouldn't be there anymore. And actually, their size of their linemen on the offensive and defensive line, only Georgia and Alabama have bigger guys than them on their offensive and defensive lines. I know the four close wins is a little pause for concern, but I think this Texas Tech team can do it again, and they absolutely dominated in the bowl game against Ole Miss. And I'm not even worried about them losing Tyree Wilson either. They got some dogs on this defense. I think Texas Tech's going to put the conference on watch this year. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think that they're going to give some teams a run for their money. I'm saying 10 wins.
There you go. Surprise team in the Big 12. I forgot to mention Oklahoma's offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby. He's still there.
Yep.
From Ole Miss.
Yep, good call. Good call.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, no, that is a good call, Ben. I'm glad you went back and touched on that one. I think it's kind of time, Ben, we start to rope these teams in together. I'll give Baylor a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here since they have Dave Aranda as their head coach. They bring back seven starters on offense. They bring back five on defense. They're going to have four new offensive linemen. One positive thing here is there was only 10 teams in the conference last year, and there were 9 out of 10 in red zone offense. Their secondary is pretty bad last year, and I don't necessarily love the talent they have on it this year. Ben, I think that Dave Aranda will be able to do something with this defense, but I'm going to be honest with you. I do not like the quarterback Blake Shapen at all. I mean, me and you were kind of high on them last year. We thought Shapen was going to be that guy. He did not perform at all last year. And I honestly think that he's decently bad. They have a transfer who came in to play quarterback. I think he might be able to take over at some point. His name's leaving my mind, though, at the time. But overall, Ben, I think Baylor is going to go. I think they have good enough coaching to go. I think they're a 7-5, 6-6 team.
Yeah, I think they're around that record as well. They're going to be able to run the football, and Dave Aranda is obviously a borderline genius coaching defense. So it'll be an old school type of team. How many turnovers is this, or is their quarterback situation gonna stall drives with? So if they don't turn the ball over, I think they can move the ball. I was watching them a lot last year. A lot of drives ended in field goals or fourth down conversions attempts. So you got to figure out the quarterback position where you can run the ball as well as they're going to be able to. You have to be able to throw the ball downfield eventually and take shots. They weren't able to do it last year. So they're going to play sloppy football. It's going to be physical. It's going to be the way Dave Aranda likes it. You better be ready because they're going to smash you in the mouth. I just don't think they're going to put that much pressure on teams because I don't think they're great at throwing the football.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, but it did feel like we had money on Baylor just about every too week. Often. Yeah, we did for too often for a few weeks. I remember against West Virginia, they blew some crazy lead and screwed us. And then they were on our shit list after that. But we got it all back on Air Force in the bowl game. So that was all that mattered. Yeah, it did feel like we bet on them way too much in the beginning of the year last year. I still think as long as Mike Gundy bends at Oklahoma State, we got to talk about him here. They're going to have seven back on offense, six back on defense. Mike Gundy hasn't had a losing season since 2005. They do bring in a new defensive coordinator. They don't really know what their quarterback's going to be. They do play at Arizona State. That'll be interesting with them bringing a new coach. They do play South Alabama, who's probably going to be one of the best, if not the best P5 school this upcoming season. Overall, though, they do avoid Texas on the campaign, and it looks like they do get Oklahoma at home. They get to play at UCF in Houston, which is huge, in BYU at home, so they kind of avoid some of those harder spots to play. What do you think about the Cowboys this upcoming season?
I think there's potential for his first losing season in a long time. He's probably sad about it, but I feel like he should be happy that Spencer Sanders is finally gone, though. I feel like he's been – providing some nightmares in that city for quite some time. I think they've lost a step in the Big 12. I think some of the new teams coming in are just as consistent, just as good as Oklahoma State. I think I definitely think that Gus Malzahn's a better coach than Mike Gundy. I think they're like middle of the pack this year. I don't think there's anything that they do exceptionally well, and I don't think they do anything. I mean, they're going to – Gundy's boys always fight hard. I just don't see it with them this year. I don't think they have great offensive line play coming back. I don't think they have a great quarterback stepping up the play or anything. So nothing really excites me about the Cowboys.
Yeah, Ben, I'm with you on this one, man. I think the Cowboys are 6-6 football club. I think they have enough games on their schedule that I see as winnable. Odds are they'll probably lose one or two of those, and they'll probably win one or two they shouldn't. So I think 6-6 is about what it looks like. I also forgot to mention that Baylor does play Utah out as an out-of-conference game, so they really didn't do themselves any favors with that one either. Anyway, though, let's keep it rolling here, Ben, as we punch through the conference. Let's talk about Kansas, and then we're kind of going to go quick on the rest of these teams. Kansas brings back 10 starters on offense, including Jalon Daniels. Also, they do even have Jason Bean back, their backup quarterback who played pretty
and
well
head
last year.
coach.
Yep, the head coach, Lance Leopold, comes back. They bring back 7 on defense. They did give up 35.5 points per game. They lost 4 starters on the front set on the front four, but they bring back the entire back seven. Don't know if that's good or bad. They do have a transfer come in from Auburn. Apparently, they did decent in the transfer portal-wise on defensive side of the ball. Ben, I really think this Kansas Jayhawks team is going to be one of the most exciting offenses to watch. They have a nice little showdown with Illinois. They also play at Nevada. Unfortunately, though, they have to play at Texas. They do play Oklahoma. They do play Texas Tech and Kansas State at home. So it looks like they play all the tough teams, but I think this is like a 7-8 win team that's probably going to bet a lot of overs in their games and probably going to be pretty exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they were the overs team last year, no doubt, one of them at least. Another week two game, very interesting. Them against Illinois is fascinating to me. Two pretty contrasting styles, pretty contrasting types of head coaches. Obviously, Brett Bielema at Illinois is what the ground and pound and win the trenches. And Lance Leopold likes to go fast and air raid a little bit on offense. Electricity at quarterback. That's one way to describe describe Daniels. Heisman hopeful, I guess, is another one from last year. I don't think they've quite the success that they did last year, that they did last year again. The good news is I don't think their defense can get much worse. When I say Quinn Ewers is arguably the best quarterback in the Big 12, I think Daniels is arguably the best quarterback in the Big 12. So I think there's three. Well, yeah, I think those are the big two. I think Daniels from Kansas and I think Ewers from Texas are probably the big two. Gabriel can throw his name in that hat. I think the UCF quarterback that we'll talk about shortly, I'm sure, can throw his name in the hat because he's been in college for 15 years.
We'll have to go at it at that one.
I just think the schedule is much harder this year than it was last year, but I'm excited to watch this team. I think they were kind of America's team last year, I would say, for a little while. And then they had college game day, and then it kind of started to go downhill.
Yeah, I mean, they were the laughingstock of college football, and they started out, I think it was 5 or 6-0. So it was just awesome, to see them come up from nothing. Because, I mean, this team was lucky to win 3 games. I don't think they had won a Big 12 game in like 2 or 3 years. So it was nice to see Kansas actually win some games last year. Ben, before we get – actually, let's go real quick here. Let's talk about Iowa State and West Virginia. Did you have any notes you wanted to add on West Virginia or Iowa State?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll go
– Other than
I'll go,
the Iowa State coach, you think he still wants to be there?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think Matt Campbell really screwed up and should have probably took another job. Me and you even said that. We were like, dude, when these other schools come calling, why would you not get out of there? You're at Iowa State. Like, you're not going to bring in the recruits like that. Like, you already had Brock Purdy, David Montgomery. Like, he had some of the best players in school history already come through there. I will just say real quick on Iowa State, they do play the fourth hardest schedule in the nation, but they were 1-6 in close games last year. They did actually have the best scoring defense in the conference, but they literally lost every single game by like a field goal. So part of me says this team can go bowling and go 6-6, which I think is in whatever season, honestly, for Iowa State. West Virginia, though, they gave up 32 points per plus points per game. And I think this will be Neil Brown's last season with the team. I think they would be shocked to see them go bowling. Ben doesn't have much to add there. So, Ben, it is time, man. Let's talk about the newcomers. We have UCF, BYU, Houston, and Cincinnati. Let's go ahead and knock out Houston and Cincinnati so we don't have to talk about them much. Cincinnati has 3 starters back on offense, 6 on defense. I think Scott Satterfield comes in as head coach. I like Scott Satterfield, but I think they're probably going to be the worst team in the conference if I had to guess. And then Houston comes in here, losing Tank Dell and quarterback Tanner Mordecai to Wisconsin. I think Houston's defense was awful last year. They were like, I think 9-1 to the over at one point in time. I think both these teams will be lucky to get over 2 conference wins.
Yeah, I think Houston will finish dead last. Them and I think them, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. I'm going to say go the bottom three. Just kind of interested to see what Scott Satterfield brings to Cincinnati. I wouldn't say I would draw many comparisons between how Cincinnati played football under Fickell and how Louisville played. So I'm interested to see what he brings to Cincinnati. Not a lot of returning production when you lose a pretty great coach that Cincinnati had. A lot of players tend to leave with him.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's This is kind of a similar situation that Venables had. I think Satterfield will have it turned around the second year. I just think this first year is going to be tough for the Bearcats. Ben, let's talk about them, though. We got to talk about BYU. BYU comes in here finally.
Week three.
Yep. Week three, it's going to be huge, man. BYU in week three plays at Arkansas to get things kicked off before that they have to run the gauntlet, including playing at Texas. They do play Oklahoma. They do play Texas Tech. They do play at TCU. It looks like the only one they avoided was Kansas State. On top of all of that, then Keaton Slovis, who it feels like should have been long out of college football, comes in here to play quarterback. I think he's complete garbage. And their defense was horrible last year, giving up 172.5 yards per game on the ground. Ben, is there any chance the Cougars go bowling in their first year in the conference?
This schedule's too tough for me to say yes. It was close for a little while with Arkansas last year in BYU, and it didn't end close. It was like 52 or 55 to 30-something.
Yep.
I remember it wasn't that close. I was looking at it earlier. I think they finish around 9th or 10th in this conference.
Yeah, I actually have them finish. I honestly think that they're going to finish second to last. I actually have Cincinnati finishing last, but you might be right with Houston. So I have them finishing pretty deep. Yeah, that game against Arkansas was crazy. I remember it was like 6-3 at halftime, and I think me and you might have even both took the over together. And then the second half was just like touchdown, 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 touchdown. I think Sanders had like two like 70-plus yard touchdown runs in that game. It was insane. But anyway, Ben, let's talk about UCF here real quick. UCF comes over here. This is going to be their first year in the conference. Obviously, we've been waiting on this to happen a long time. They got 8 back on offense, 7 on defense. They do have 2 all-conference defensive linemen. Their offense is absolutely loaded at the skill positions. They have your boy John Rhys Plumlee. Is this going to be the best newcomer team?
Well, I don't know if I want him labeled as my boy, but I think they absolutely are the best newcomer team in this conference. John Rhys Plumlee is a Gus Malzahn type of quarterback. He's better with the feet than he is with his arm, but he's certainly the definition of a dual star. Former 5-star DeMarcus Bowman, he was the number 2 running back. He went to Florida, and he didn't stay at Florida long. He's now at UCF.
Okay.
They were a top 10 rushing offense last year. They had a former 5-star that came into this picture. Gus Malzahn loves to run the football. I think with the experience that they have on defense, I would put their secondary. From what I've been reading, it certainly sounds like it's going to be a top 10 situation at cornerbacks. They have really good players at cornerbacks. Former 5-star running back that's joining a top 10 rushing offense with a quarterback who's been in schools since what seems like 2000. I think they can make noise. Now, what is noise in the Big 12? They finish between 5th and 7th. I don't think it's anything real noise, but I do think Gus Malzahn goes bowling. I think he has a good first year in the Big 12. I just don't think he beats anyone that he's, you know, I don't think he has a major upset. I don't think they beat Texas. I don't think they beat Texas Tech at Texas Tech. I don't think they win at Kansas State. So I think games like Baylor they could win. I think at Boise State's an interesting one. Week two is phenomenal. But if they can beat Baylor, if they can win at Kansas, if they can sneak a couple games here, it wouldn't shock me because Malzahn is a good football coach. He knows what he likes, and he currently has it with his rushing attack.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Ben. I honestly think Plumlee is pretty overrated in my opinion. I think he was good running all over the garbage defenses in the AAC. I think this is gonna be a tough adjustment for him. I think he spent a little more time playing baseball, which I think is going to be his professional sport rather than football. And I don't know about all this for them this season. I think that kind of like you said, like they'll go bowling. That's going to be about it. I think that Malzahn, though, will build something. And I could see them being a powerhouse in this conference in 2 to 3 years. It just is this upcoming season. I don't love Plumlee. I remember last year I wanted to be against him a lot. I think I kind of want to be in the same boat again this year. But overall, though, I think that they have a decent team around him. Like, I think this is definitely a 6-win team for sure. So,
and let's not forget, this is the final year with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is the final year with Texas and Oklahoma. Ben, with no further ado, let's go into our awards for the conference. Ben, who's going to – so, obviously, I picked Texas Tech as my breakout team. Do you have a breakout team in this conference this season?
If I had to pick one, I guess I would do – I would say the same with Texas Tech, but at the same time, I think I have them finished in 4th or 5th.
Okay. That's fair.
I like Oklahoma doesn't feel right to call a breakout team.
No, I agree with you on that. Oklahoma is expected to, especially with them taking off and going to the SEC. Who do you have as your conference player of the year, and why?
I'm gonna go Quinn Ewers. I think the competition, from what I've been reading, is doing him well in spring. I think he's had a pretty good spring. Second or third year under Sarkisian for him. Second,
Third,
right?
or no, it's
Third.
yeah, it's his second. No, it's his second year there. Sark's third year as head coach.
Yeah, second year under Sark, a little bit more familiarized. I think his receiving core is just ridiculous. He's got two of his top receivers back from last year, three if you include the tight end, and you got AD Mitchell from Georgia. So I think Texas should be able to throw the ball all over the rock this year. I think Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to agree with Ben on this one. Let's go Quinn Ewers as well for me as conference player of the year. All the reasons Ben laid out, I can't even really add anything else. I think Texas is going to only lose one game on the season. So,
Xavier Worthy, whew.
yeah,
He reminds me of a certain receiver that played at Alabama and the Falcons.
yeah,
And I'm
same
not
here.
talking Julio Jones.
Talking Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Yeah, the unspeakable Falcon. Anyway, Ben, let's talk about our conference championships here. I'll go first on this one. Look, it's tough, honestly, not to pick Texas versus Oklahoma here. I really think it is tough not to pick these two teams to match up. It makes the most sense, but I don't know, man. I just like what they got going on down in Lubbock. I'm going to go Texas versus Texas Tech in the conference championship game. These teams will meet the week before. I think Texas is going to hand them an L, then they're going to come around and play again the following week. And I think the same thing's going to happen again. I got Texas winning this conference, and I actually have Texas going to the Final Four this season. I think the Big 12 will get a representative after not getting one the last couple of years.
I like your Texas pick. If not now, then when? Because they're going to have a lot of talent coming to the SEC, and it just doesn't roll like that in the SEC. So if not now, then when for Texas? It would be cool, I think, if you're a traditionalist or a history person of college football and you don't care for any of these teams. I think it would be cool for Texas or Oklahoma to win. They're on their way out, kicking out the door. Let's never think about them again. I have Texas against Kansas State in the Big 12 championship. And I think that would be a tremendous rematch.
Yeah, I think it would be cool too, like you said, to see Texas and Oklahoma go out on top here and see them two face off for one last time in the conference championship game. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Ben, any last words for you before we hop off this one and call it a day?
No, I think this conference is you think Texas is their only shot at a college football playoff, you think? I would probably say so.
I think Texas, but I think Oklahoma's schedule plays out that they can get there. But I feel like if they lose to Texas and win the rest of the games, and then, well, I guess they would need to play Texas again in the. I think they would have to
You
beat
play twice.
Texas in the conference championship game or in the regular season and only have one loss in order to do it because they do play a very weak schedule.
I think it's just Texas.
Yeah, I agree. As high as I am on Texas Tech, I don't think Texas Tech has a chance to do what TCU does. What TCU did was crazy, honestly. All right, Ben, that's all. Actually, yeah, so I was faulty even when I said they hadn't had a team in there in a while because they had TCU last year. I was thinking about how they hadn't had Oklahoma make it in a year or two. But anyway, guys, that's all we got for today's show. We'll be back next week with at least two previews coming to y'all. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, I think hook 'em horns. I think you can do horns down again, by the way. I think when they go to the SEC.
Ooh, let's go. That's big time. That's a staple in
Not
college football.
confirmed, but I think you can do horns down.
Don't quote him on that, guys, but horns down might be back soon. We're both horns up, hook 'em. Let's go. Talk to y'all soon. Thank you for tuning in.